This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Football on off the ball.
But I just think there's very little wiggle room for success at Celtic. And I know Hearts are top of the league at the minute and could easily go on to win it. But I think if you win the league and you win the cup at Celtic, the fans are still going to be saying, well, we need success in Europe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball daily.
Folks, hello and welcome to tonight's Late Night League of Ireland. Yes, the music has stopped. I was wondering if it should stop or not. Myself, Shane Keegan here in the hosting chair tonight, but delighted to say joined by our resident League of Ireland guru, Mr. Barry Murphy. Barry, how are you keeping?
Shane, not too bad. How's things?
All good, all good. Barry, I'll give a quick run through the results before we start to get into some of the meaty stuff. Great to see we have two requests in for speakers already because we've got a lot to cover tonight and a couple of really, really interesting talking points, I think. But to first give that quick rundown on tonight's results, in Premier Division first, Bohemians with a 1-0 win at home to Galway. Derry City going down 2-1 at home to Shelburne. A 5-0 win for Dundalk at home to Waterford. St. Pat's with a 4-1 win at home to Drogheda. And Shamrock Rovers with a 2-0 win away to Sligo Rovers. Dropping down to the First Division, we had a 2-0 win at home for Athlone Town against Cove Ramblers. Bray Wanderers with a 2-1 win at home to UCD. Cork City with a 2-1 win at home to Longford. All square at 2-2 between Finn Harps and Treaty. And again, all square down at Wexford, where it was Wexford 1, Kerry 1. So, like I said, lots and lots of interesting talking points. A couple of requests in as well already. We'll get the guys on in 2 minutes. But just to throw it to yourself, Barry, what did you your eyes on tonight?
Yeah, I was watching Derry and Shells and kept an eye on Sligo Rovers and Shamrock Rovers as well, but Derry was the one that caught the eye for me. The first thing I noticed straight away was what a poor crowd. Really low attendance, and they weren't treated too much, the ones that did turn up. Shells, excellent on the night. Jack Henry Francis opened the score in a manic first half for him. Lundgren and him linked up really well on that left-hand side, and Jack Henry Francis just got a little position outside the box. Went to get a shot off on his right and sold James McLean an absolute pup, cut back on his left, smashed it in off both posts, and a brilliant start for Shells. And 2 minutes later, tries that trick again, gets robbed just inside his own half. Really poor defending from Shells. Rossi turns his back and Royler smashes it in to equalise, but that was the only real spell Derry had in the game. Shells pushed on from then, and then it's comical stuff from Derry at the back. Bone actually comes off. Sam Bone comes off injured for Shells. They go to a back three. Norris goes on the left. And as they're trying to sort that out and Derry are trying to get a grip of it, there's a ball just slid down the outside. Barry Cotter is sold down that side. Norris cuts in off his left, whiffs the ball across the box. There's nobody there. Fleming goes to try and flick it away from the line, gets caught under his foot, and Kelly smashes it in. And you could just hear the groans in the crowd from then on. And Derry switched to a back three. Never really troubled Shells at all. Made a triple substitution to try and change things, but Marky Olienka and DeSantos on had no effect at all. And then the crowd just started to turn on the Derry players as the last 5 minutes tick by on the clock. And yeah, it's a really bad night for Tiernan Lynch up there, you feel?
Yeah, certainly is, Barry. And look, rather than us debating what the the Derry faithful make of it. We'll get our first man in straight away, because I think we have a Derry man who can chat to us, because you would imagine the heat is certainly starting to turn up. Really, really poor performance last week against Shamrock Rovers, and then to go from that to another home defeat tonight. Yeah, you'd imagine things aren't all rosy. Marty, are you there? Talk to us.
I'm here, Shane. How's it going?
Better than you, I'd say.
Oh yeah, rough going.
Were you at it?
No, I'm down in Wexford, actually, would you believe. My mother's from Wexford, so I'm down here for the weekend, for Mother's Day, the weekend that's in it.
Good man. I'm sure you managed to get yourself in front of a screen, though, did you?
I did indeed, yeah. It was a rough fare again.
What do you make of things, or where, like, you know, as Barry said there, that the support base started to turn on the team as the game went along. You know, how much pressure is Tiernan under at the moment? Do you think he's the right man for it? Can he turn things around, or where do you go at the moment?
I wouldn't. I don't want to blame everything on Tiernan. Look, we signed James McLean right a week before the season started. I'm always the kind of guy, I like to see things play out, right? So I don't make too much comment. I said, like, we'll give it a chance. I did get a very sick feeling that this is a bit like when, remember, United signed Ronaldo for the second time and Ole had to accommodate him. Ole ended up getting sacked. Didn't work out at all. People will say Ronaldo scored like 20 goals or whatever that year, but I think United went from second to sixth. And it feels like that here, like he's had to completely change his style to accommodate James McLean. I just think it's been a disaster. He must be the worst midfielder in the Premier Division. I don't think that's unfair to say now after six games. He was atrocious tonight. He's been atrocious for weeks now. Tiernan Lynch, again, I'm not trying to defend him too much, but he must be under orders to play him. I don't know, you guys managed, you did yourself, Shane. I don't know if that can happen, a chairman saying that, but how could he be on the pitch tonight after five subs? Even the first goal, Henry Francis scored, brilliant goal, right? But McLean was on him, he should have closed him down. He got torn, he was turning like a cement mixer there when your man shimmied him. You know what I mean? It was awful looking, and he was losing the ball all night. He'd no quality, he had quality a few weeks ago with his deliveries. That's even gone now. Like, all his deliveries and all were shocking. You know what I mean? So I don't want to blame everything on one person, but people are all calling for Lynch to go, right? But I'd be calling for McLean to go. That's who I want out. So that'd be my thought on it so far.
It's a rough one, Shane, though, yeah. Isn't it? It's a rough one for Tiernan Lynch. You think there's probably that bit of pressure on him to play him, and he probably knows that there's more pressure if he takes him out of the team and they don't get the results with the amount of wages he's on as well. But you just looked at the team sheet tonight, you thought, are they going to play three at the back? Are they going to play four? It ended up Patrick McLean playing left back. It just looked all over the shop. The two in the middle wasn't working well. Winchester isn't in there. They've no legs in the middle at all. When Markey came all on the ink, they just did nothing to affect the game, really. And you just feel that they just weren't going to score. It was not a case of Shells playing overly well either. It was just Derry just didn't turn up. Shells took their chances, and I don't know. I just don't see a change, and I can't see him being taken out of the team at the moment. And he might, Tiernan might fall on his sword before James McLean does, I think.
And Baz, if Patrick McLean was at left back, who was left wing then? Was Michael still on the left wing, or had Michael moved?
It was a back three, guys. We played the back three again, so we went back to what we were playing last year.
With Fleming,
it was a three, yeah.
It moved kind of from a back four to a back three. Fleming ended up more as a left back than he probably should have, and he was really poor for the goal, but yeah, it just, there's no cohesion to the team at all. The substitutions don't make sense. Dunnigan comes on at right back later on in the game. McLean's still on the pitch. It just baffles you, some of the decisions we made on the sideline. I know you could say it's not about the manager's decisions, but he's got to have a bit of spine there to change things around if he feels that McLean shouldn't be in the team. But obviously he feels he should, so he's got to take the flak for it, in my opinion.
Marty, am I oversimplifying it here to think is the obvious solution here not just that Patrick goes out onto the left wing?
Who, Patrick?
That Patrick McLean goes out onto the left wing. Or sorry,
James,
that James, yeah. Sorry, James, that James, yeah, goes out onto the left wing.
Well, he's not as good as Duffy or Fleming. Like, I think, honestly, I don't want to keep going in on McLean, right? But he looks finished. Like, he looks absolutely finished. Like, Wrexham wouldn't let him go for nothing if he was any good to them. Like, you know, he does look... Like, people are saying he's still fit and all. That's fine, but he looks so slow. Like, look at the first goal. It's a great finish, but
yeah,
the way your man turns him and all, it's so bad looking. And just to go back to the point, right, I'm not defending Tiernan, because he made five substitutions tonight, and he still somehow thought that James McLean should stay on the pitch. He took off Adam O'Reilly in the 60th minute. Adam O'Reilly was having a very good game, and he leaves James McLean on. So that's madness. Like. So
yeah.
I can't have too much sympathy either, you know, for the man.
Oh, look, and I agree with the point Barry made. It is a really hard one for Tiernan. There is no doubt, whether directly or indirectly, there's definitely pressure on him to be left in the team, I would imagine. But I just think, look, I get your point on it, Marty, but at the same time, I find it hard to believe that a fella that was still starting reasonably regularly over the first half of the season in the Championship can have dropped off that much that fast, that I still think he'd be a real option on the left-hand side. I really, really do. I think he could get up and down. I think Michael's got the flexibility that he could go and play 10 or go and play in a front two in a 3-5-2 if that's the way they want to go about it. I think it was ridiculous to assume that a player, I don't care what level he's played at, I don't care how many international caps he has, I think it was ridiculous to assume that a player who has basically never played in the centre of the field in his life could just, you know, switch magically to that position at this stage in his career, and that would be a success. I never saw that being a success, to be honest with you. But I find it hard to believe that he can't be a good League of Ireland player, Baz. I don't know what you think.
No, I think you're right. I think he can offer something on the left. As you said, you can put Duffy in that 10 or play him that kind of Graham Burke role in just behind. Let him have that free rein in behind, because he's out on the left. He's so much easier to defend out there at the moment. And if you stop Michael Duffy at the moment, you stop Derry. That's the problem for them. There's not enough coming from elsewhere. Depot did okay tonight, came off then. Royla was good, but O'Reilly and Royla came off at the same time. You could just hear the boos ringing out from the sidelines. They knew it was the wrong substitutions to make at that time. It didn't have any effect. And yeah, I just don't know if it's going to get the chance to make those changes later on, because they're already falling well behind Bowes, Shamrock Rovers. Pat's all starting to pull ahead of them now. And you're talking about winning two leagues, you know, this season and next season. The owner was talking about that at the start of the season. They're well short of that now.
Marty, if you'd said before a ball was kicked that after six games you'd be level on points with Dundalk, I mean, that's not where expectations were, is it?
Absolutely not. And you know, but as we said, like, I think Derry and Tiernan have disrespected the league by putting James in there. I think they've shown a real disrespect to the quality that's in the league. Like, look at your man Henry Francis tonight. Like, everyone always talks about Devoy and all. I think he is sensational, that player. Yeah. Like, anytime we play him, like, he's just so good, even for Sligo. So I think they've disrespected the league a little bit with this change of McLean, and they thought, like, I think they disrespected it, you know, long story short. And just come back to Duffy, guys. Duffy last year, when they were at their best, was playing in the free role, as Barry pointed out, and in a number 10.
Yeah.
He's too easy to mark on the left. He's not as effective. All they have to do is crowd out the right-hand side of the defence. So everyone's talking about McLean and Lynch, but we need to go back to getting Duffy in that free role, side of striker, and just letting him roam around and pick up where the space is. That's the key, really, if we want to turn it around.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yeah, no, listen, I don't think you're far wrong there. Marty, thanks a million for jumping on.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Marty.
Great stuff. Great stuff. We'll go from that to a fella who I assume was either at or watching the game that I predominantly had my eyes on tonight, which was the live Virgin game between Sligo and Shamrock Rovers. Aaron, were you watching on screens or were you at the game?
I was watching on screens on the big TV there tonight on Virgin.
Good. So, give us your thoughts on it.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's one of those. If we might have got Lopez sent off a bit earlier for the penalty shout, and it might have been a different game. But in fairness to Shamrock Rovers, the last kind of 10 minutes of the first half, they really kind of got a foothold. And obviously, with the quality they had, they got two goals. And we probably had similar enough chances, but we just snatched at them. And we just look, I think we've said it before, Shane, when I've been on with you, that we just don't have a proper out-and-out clinical striker up there. And it shows in games like this, you know.
Yeah, it certainly does. Tell you one thing that caught my eye, Aaron, I don't know if I'm being harsh on it here, but I look particularly at the Ryan O'Kane chance that you had shortly after Pico sent it off. And do you know what I think really cost him that opportunity was
the pitch.
The pitch.
Yeah,
Shane. Like I usually when I am down there, I'm one of the few volunteers that goes out onto the pitch and, you know, does the forking and stuff on it and trying to, you know, put some of the marks back in and stuff. But I mean, like, my local league is the Roscommon District League, and there's pitches in way better condition than the showgrounds, unfortunately. I don't know. I don't know if it's been not a cheap way, but I just think it's been a bit of a cop out the last few seasons with the pitch of, you know, obviously the ground is being done and the pitch, it will be done as part of that. But I just think in the meantime, like, it's a good 4 years, I say, that I've been kind of working on it, that it's been in poor condition. And like, you've probably heard, it's not the first time Stephen Bradley has been on a good few times in his interviews on about the state of the pitch over the last few years and the showgrounds and stuff. And as you say, Shane, like, it doesn't help us either. And that was an example of it, like, you know.
No. Well, look, it'd be, you know, if you were long ball merchants and that, well, then you could say, you know, maybe it suits the manager that opposition team struggle to pass on it and he can be a bit more direct. But I think John tries to get you playing, you know.
100%.
And it's not benefiting you either.
Shane, it's no coincidence the results pick up as the weather gets better down the
Sligo. Yeah, that's what I always say, Barry. And like, even, like, I know a lot of people were worried about the first game against Derry. And I said, like, to a lot of people, I said, we're actually going to be fine, I said, up there, because we're playing on an Astro and that'll suit the players better to pass the ball and stuff. Where that's why I do think we struggle big time. And then our form does pick up around the summertime when the pitches do dry out and we can play a bit more football on the pitches. But yeah, it's frustrating because, look, I mean, John himself is in charge. What, maybe this is his fourth year, I think. So, like, you know, he, as you say, Shane, plays that style of football, and, you know, for the pitch not to be in that shape and condition for that, it is frustrating, you know.
Yeah. It's a pity he ran into Rovers really on the back of a good result last weekend. You'd love to have been given the opportunity to build a bit of momentum, but to run into a game where you were, you know, always going to be firm second best. And just looking at the upcoming fixtures as well, I mean, you would have been looking at that Dundalk one, and maybe they still are, but you would have been looking at the Dundalk one saying, right, well, that's one we need to be trying to get points from. Obviously, they've been absolutely awesome tonight. So all of a sudden that starts to look a little bit more difficult. And then you're facing into Shells then the following week. I mean, it's not going to get any easier in the short term, Aaron, is it?
No. And that's the one thing about this year. Now, apart from possibly, well, look, we drew with Waterford already, but obviously they took a bit of a tank in there tonight. But like, there's no easy games at all this year in the Premier Division. Like, it's going to be very competitive, both at the top and at the bottom. And yeah, look, I mean, the Dock game, you're kind of, even going into tonight, you're kind of going, that's the one you have your eye on. But then you see the result for them tonight, they're going to be on high going into another home game where, you know, we still, I know we lost the game tonight, but we still put in a good shift to try and get something out of it. And obviously with a small squad, quick turnaround, you know, how will the bodies be for Monday? So, that would be the concern, you know, concern there. But yeah, look, I still think the striker is the big one. Like, I know Keane Kavanagh, his hold up play tonight was quite good, and obviously in the draw of the game he was brilliant as well. But unfortunately, he just doesn't have that kind of clinical finish. Like, at one stage, like, Lee Grace made a big mistake at the back, and you know, it was a lazy kind of pass back.
He intercepted it.
And like, Kavanagh just sticks out a lazy leg in return, like, of a chance, and you're just kind of going. In games against the likes of Shamrock Rovers, you just need to be clinical if you get those sort of chances. And
I agree with you completely. I thought a lot of your middle third play tonight was really, really good, but it's just so evident in that final third that there's...
Yeah. Like, in fairness, like, midfield I thought was good. Like, Quirk he's had a very strong start to the season, and James McManus has come in from Bowes again and he's playing well. And we, you know, I thought Ryan O'Kane and Alex Nolan played well on the wings, but it's just, there's nothing, you know, in there for them to kind of get on, you know, someone to get on the end of things. Like,
What did you make of the penalty? Did you think it was a penalty?
Oh yeah, I did. Like, you know, like, from the first time I seen it, I thought it was like completely stonewall, and then you kind of see a closer up version, and you're kind of going, maybe question it, but then you see the camera angle from behind the goal and you can just see Lopez is just wrong side and just kind of pushes into the back room. But look, in the end, Lopez did get sent off anyways, you know, so like, it wasn't like, yeah, we could have went 1-0 up, but that, like, look, if that's the only way I could see us scoring there tonight was a penalty, like, it wasn't going to be from our open play, I don't think.
Yeah, no problem.
You just think a striker maybe with a bit more guile in that first half takes that hit from Lopez, gets him a second yellow card earlier on. The one where he just flicks it by him, and Lopez
Leg
out, and he kind of 100% he's around him. But I think that's the chance really to take him down, take the second yellow, and he's gone.
Totally. Yeah,
I totally agree. You know, I do think it was a penalty. I think Pico's gone into the back of him. It's not an arm across the chest, and unfortunate.
Agreed. Aaron, listen, fair play for jumping on. We'll chat to you again.
No worries, lads. Cheers.
Great stuff. Plenty of requests coming in. I'm not getting to some of you quick enough, but I promise I will if you can stick around. Like our man Shane Kennedy there, he disappeared on me, but I think he's back. We spoke last week, Shane, that we thought that a Derry City game might actually suit Shell's style of play a lot more than maybe some of the low block teams they were running into. And that seems to be how it played out. Talk to us about it.
Is that what I said or you said that? Sorry,
I think you said that.
Yeah. No, we were very good tonight. And we signal is going, lads. So if you want to hang up at any time, don't be worrying. I won't be offended. Signal's not great, so I'll keep it quick. We were great. We played very well, played the 2-10s, 5 at the back, the usual. And your man Rossi that came in was brilliant, cleared and everything. We got a nice goal at the start. I think, to be fair, the Giants are playing, I'd be one of his biggest critics, but I think you have to try and block the shot. And look, if Jack scores with his left foot, you'd say fair play to him. You can't let him shoot, so you kind of have to dive in there. And he finishes it. Jack Henry Francis is unbelievable. We're a bit open sometimes still, though, but look, we got 2 goals. Cameron Edwards is unbelievable this season. Critical of him last year, but he's been absolutely brilliant. Martin up front, excellent. Yeah, it was just a proper all round away performance. And the change when Sam Bowen got injured, we brought on Chuck, and Chuck went left, and then Dickie went on the right, and just gave us more attacking because Gano was kind of a bit terrified not to go too far forward. But now we were really good, and Derry were really poor, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a fully fit and fully fit and flying Jack Henry Francis is just transformational for Edo Chen, isn't it?
Yeah, he did kind of not cause the goal. We played the ball into him and I wouldn't say he gave it away. He never really had it under control. That, like as someone said to me there, the brandy went away and it's in Tolga Park, it's that far away, so it's hard to see. But it looked like he tried.
He tried to do the same
thing,
back onto the left, yeah, and just kind of nicked off.
Oh, right. I didn't know we had it under control too much, though. But James gets in there and
it's a far enough away from goal where you think, listen, we can make it back up from, but just nobody kind of came out to stop Royal at this. Rossi kind of kept backing off, turned his back a little bit.
I think he was kind of worried that. Rossi was worried about the winger, though. If he goes to him, he'd slip your man in. So it's going to say, look, if you shoot, fair play to you. I don't really criticise him too much. He couldn't go out. It was too far out. He'd have slipped the striker in.
No, you've got a back over there as well. It's just a good strike.
That's a good strike, exactly. Yeah, that's what I would say too.
The Henry Francis goal is absolutely top class. I mean, I know, like, again, we talk about James McLean's role in it, but I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't be overly harsh on James McLean there. Like, he is absolutely shaping up to shoot. To be able to pull off a cheeky rollover and then rattle it on with your weaker foot there, there are very few players in our league capable of doing something like that, Shane.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think we said last year, cheeky, he's the best centre midfielder in the league. And look, if he brings goals to that, well then, fair play to him. He was missed against Rovers, I thought. Just I think he just missed on the ball. He's just a bit different than Looney. And in the second half, he couldn't really get out at one point. And I don't know if you've seen this, Barry, throw in towards the end. He jinxed and joys past about three players in our own kind of final board. And he just gets us out then. At that point, we were struggling to kind of get out because we didn't know whether to, like, go or like clear it or whatever, so we couldn't really get out there much. But yeah, he was brilliant. Him and McEnroy had a good combination in there. They kind of, McEnroy's the runner and he's more the skillful player.
Shane, are you a better team at the moment with Will Jarvis out of the side?
Look, the Swedish fellas doing well. Like, they're both very similar. I said that when they came on against Waterford, he went on the right. They're very similar and Swedish fella hadn't done nothing wrong. He played unbelievable pass for that second goal. I'm not too sure if he meant that some of the boys are saying he 100% knew where Chuck was, but he was lively in that first half. You can't take him out. Will came on towards the end. He's not really the type of player you want to bring on at 2-1 up playing in the second 10 or whatever it's called. But he's going to have to earn his place because the Swedish fella looks a threat to him, which might make him work hard and get back in the team, like, you know. Bad injuries though. Sam Bowen's gone up again, so it's not great.
I was just going to ask about that one. All right, yeah. There's certainly you're doing well to ride out the injury crisis that you've got there in that position. In fairness,
We have a big squad to be fair. And Cano was a bit critical of him centre half. I thought he was a bit poor against Rovers for the goals, but tonight he was unbelievable. He's always plays well against Duffy, and I must say on Derry, I think Duffy played more as a central 10. I thought he was brilliant. And then towards the end of the game, he pushed out to the left. But even last year, he kind of played more as like an inside 10 instead of like central. Today, he was more behind the striker. And he can't take the ball on the half turn and back to goal and stuff. I don't know what Lynch was doing there myself. But.
Yeah, interesting. They were starting to stutter a bit, Baz. They kind of needed that one. And like I say, when chat to Shane last week, we were talking about the fact that Shell seemed to be struggling to break down teams that just set up in a low block. So this was the ideal game for them, really, wasn't it? Going to play a team who were going to come at them, and yet a team that they knew weren't exactly flying themselves at the moment, that there was an opportunity there for them to go and get a big win, that it kind of changed mindsets and get things back in a positive direction, and that's how it played out for them.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at the way Derry performed down in Rovers, sat back and still didn't get a result out of it, you knew they were going to have to come out, be on their front foot, get after Shells. And Shells just rolled out that little bit of purple patch they had when they got that equalising goal with Roylett. They rolled it out and then it was fairly comfortable for Shells after that. And as you said, just hit them on the counter-attack any time they could. It looked like they were going to get the third goal and not Derry get the equaliser. So they got through this patch. Another game come Monday, the injury list is piling up again. It's just about I don't think they played the back four or back three, same back three since the first and second games of the season. It's been incredible. They haven't been able to field the same back four or back three. It's just mad the way that the injuries are mounting up at the back.
Shane, that is a massive one for you Monday night. Short turnaround and a couple of injuries. You know, how are you feeling about that one going in there Monday night? Because obviously they're flying, you know.
I think it'd be a good game. I don't know if they're flying as well as people think. I've watched a bit of them. They kind of remind me of us a few years ago. They just keep it simple. And they're good defensively, you can defend the box. I wouldn't be too worried about them. More it's a piece, hickey goal I'd be worried about, or a Todd or someone like that. But I'm not overly worried, but also I know they're doing well. Clearly confident, but also a bit nervous as well. Before I go, lads, I just want to say, I got a message there about Conor Cairns. I don't know if you heard, he got a bad injury and the blanket and all came on, he was down. I don't know, was there any update on that, or...
It's a bad knee injury. Anyone around him signaled straight to the authorities to come on and help him out. So it looked a really bad one. His kind of knee got caught in the ground. That new astro up there, and he's taken straight off in an ambulance. So it looked a really poor one. Feel for the lad.
That is tough. Fair play, forgiveness. The heads up on that, Shane. Hey, listen, we'll let you on. Thanks a million, Shane.
No problem. Before I go as well. You don't have a John Daly, you just can swing away about that. I think he might be the first one to get the chop.
He's going to be under pressure after that. He's going to be under pressure after that tonight, anyway, that's for sure.
There you go, just to tee that one up. Right. Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Dan. Safe home.
Good luck. Cheers. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, listen, we spoke about a massive game for Shells on Friday night, obviously heading into a big one against Bowes. Another really, really impressive result for Bowes tonight. Having to dig it out, I think, from what I've heard, rode their luck a little bit, but hopefully we have a good man in Anthony jumping on here to fill us in on it. Anthony, how are you keeping?
Hey, Shane. Hey, Barry. How's it going?
How's
all good. Yourself, were you at it, Anthony?
Yeah, I'm still in here now at the minute. So, it was a bit of a non-event, to be honest with you. So, Galway set up the way they normally did. A bit of a similar game to the Pats game I watched on LOI TV. They were good in creating that sort of low to mid block. There was no transitions. It was a poor enough game. Bowes never really put them under the pump either. It's hard to kind of give any positives from it up until the goal. Like, his goal was a set piece, forced contact, and it went straight in. Like, and it was probably something that didn't happen till that point from the set piece that Bowes got. So, really nothing to write home about, lads, to be honest with you. It was a set piece goal. Bowes looked comfortable in the defensive sense. Todd and Hickey were very good. He never looked under pressure. Galway done the normal Galway thing. I'd say they're geared up for Monday night against Waterford more so. I thought Bowes could have put them to the sword. It was being ultra critical of Bowes. They should have put the game away in the first half and trying to put kind of cat amongst the pigeons and try and hold Galway early on, and then it would have turned into a sort of a slugfest then. And nothing really. There's nothing to write home about, lads. There's no real eureka moment or anything good or bad or different about Galway or Bowes that we haven't already said. To be honest.
There's probably a glass half full or a glass half empty approach that you can take to looking at this, really, Anthony. Is there like on one side, okay, there's two games that you've kind of scraped over the line, 2-1-0 wins, but the fact that you're able to do that, the fact that you are able to win games where, okay, you haven't got to the heights of the performance you gave against Rovers a couple of games back, but yet you've picked up 6 points out of six against two teams that you'd expect to pick up 6 points out of six, but you can't take them for granted either. So are you looking at it going, the performances haven't been great, we need to be better? Or are you looking at it going, well, look, the performances haven't been great and we're still getting the wins?
Yeah, you're right, Shane. Like at half time, I'm kicking the ball. I'm going, lads, we should be moving the ball quicker. We should be doing everything that we're trying to do a lot better and a lot better off. But that's been super ultra critical, sitting there being kind of, oh, we've done so well so far, and we need to, like, every game last year we beat Rovers in, we struggled the games afterwards. Exactly to your point, 6 points, which just was loads of ways of winning the game. So I'm sitting there going mad at half time, going, this is the one game that we set up for us to win. We're going into Tolka Park on Monday night. Can we set up the way we want to set up? Can we kind of give that segue into the game on Monday night the way we want to set up? And I'm getting frustrated. But in reality, them boys all know what they're doing on the pitch, and it's kind of, it works out in the end. They were never under the pump. They were never in any bother. And just, Shane's great. He's always on the money when he comes on. And to his point, Shells haven't had a settled back four. Either have Bowes. Bowes haven't had the same back four since the first two games. They've changed their fullbacks. They've changed their.
Yeah.
But that's part of it. Like, so it's seamless for Bowes where Moynihan comes in tonight, and Darragh Peroni come on. Senna Mullen come back in tonight. He wasn't there last week against Rovers. So it's that sort of, if I suppose Rovers have been the catalyst to doing that for the last couple of years, where it just looks seamless when they don't have their first best 11 on the pitch. And that's just another feather in the cap that you can say about Bowes tonight, that they didn't again more than come in, and they didn't look like they were any worse off than they were last week. But that being said, I think it's a long season, lads. I don't think any one team here, even the likes of Derry losing tonight, I think if 4 or 5 games in a row in this league and you're not, and back to your point, Shane, like, you're winning two games in a row against any team in this league is huge. So like, beating Rovers and then going on and winning is huge. But we can have a downturn, like Shane said there, Shells. And I said it a couple of weeks ago to Ben on the yoga, and it's good to see Marty back as well. Like, teams will have a bad period. Like, Shells are not firing on all cylinders. They've loads of injuries. But yeah, they went up to Derry tonight and won a game. And they, all of a sudden, as bad as everything is, it doesn't look that bad. Same as Pats a few weeks ago. They hadn't won a game since the start of the season. And then all of a sudden, they win 2 or 3 games in a row, Monday, Friday. And all of a sudden, everything's rosy in the garden. They look good again tonight, by all accounts. So the league is like that, lads.
Yeah, 100%. Baz, one man, he spoke about chopping and changing in the team and that, but one man who has been an ever-present, I mean, how impressive a start to the season has it been from Patrick Hickey?
He's been incredible, Shane, absolutely incredible. And you just wonder what the conversations were at the start of the year with Rennie and Pat Fennin. Were they signed him as a centre-half? Did he know he's coming as a centre-half? It's incredible the way he's just slotted into that position. I know he's played there before. He's played pretty much everywhere, I think, at this stage. But like, his goal tonight was just a brilliant piece of work. A great ball in, great header, and he's been threatening that for a while. But you look at his defensive work, they've had 5 out of 6 clean sheets.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. And bar that kind of last mad 5 minutes against Rovers, they'd have been right up there again with another clean sheet. But you look at what they've done really well this year is the margin between a really poor performance and a good performance has gotten much tighter. So even when they're off the boil, they're still getting results. You look at that second half against Waterford, it wasn't great. They came out of the RSC with 3 points. Tonight against Galway away from home, they go extra Galway, and you've got to break that down. They somehow managed to get the win. It's a totally different test on Monday, but going in with 5 wins and a draw going into that game, it's a really good start.
So, Anthony, you must be delighted with Hickey.
Yeah, he's brilliant, lads. Like, even like, he looks like he's in second gear when he's defending. Like, he just ambles across and clears stuff and just jumps into tackles, but he comes out with the ball. It's really seamless for him. It's hard to explain or hard to kind of go. And look, there will be times in the season when it won't go well for Bowes, and we will be under the pump, but for the minute he's unbelievable. And he loves it as well. He's buying into the crowd, and he's kind of that sort of person. He's forced contact on every single set piece that we do. He's getting first contact all the time, all the time. Same again there tonight. He was a model to score for us tonight. And I like I said on this before, lads, I met him after the Pats game. His family, I just happened to be coming out of Aviva, and I bumped into we were talking to American people, and all of a sudden then he came in and nothing but nice and telling us all about the degree he done in Galway and how we got on in Athlone and all. And a really solid person, and a credit to his family and to the league.
Absolutely. Anthony, thanks a million for jumping on.
No bother, lads. Fair play. Great show tonight. Thanks.
Thanks a million. Talk to you later. I'm being really, really cruel here, Baz, because we've been chatting away about the wonderfulness of Patrick Hickey, and now I'm after inviting on a man who is on the other side of that equation, a man who is probably crying tears at the loss and probably knew who the goal scorer was going to be tonight. Julian Canny, what would you give to have the big on American Moore, as they used to shout when he scored up there? What would you give to have that man back?
Oh, I know, Shane. Geez, it was sickening stuff. Watching the corner, and I could see him get free before the ball was put into the box, and I knew what was going to happen then when he was running free in the box. And yeah, sure, got on the end of the cross and buried it in the net, but. Inevitable.
But give us an overview, I suppose, on the performance from the Galway side of things, Julian, and maybe a bit of an overview of the first six games overall and where you feel you're at as well.
Yeah. Like at the start of the season, I'll be honest, with so many changes, obviously Hickey being one of the main ones we'd lost, and Rob Slevin as well going up to Derry. I was very worried about how we'd start the season, and I was kind of looking at the fixture list, and we had a few tough away games and we had home games against the teams around us. So like our home fixtures, it was first home to Drogheda, then we'd Sligo at home, Dundalk at home, and now Waterford at home. And I was kind of thinking, if we start the season slowly, it could be a really long season, because a lot of these players that we brought in hadn't League of Ireland experience, and you just didn't know what you're going to get. But to be honest, we've actually started the season pretty well. Like, I mean, that first game against Drogheda, now we should never have lost that. Obviously we missed a penalty to go in 1-0 up, and if we go 1-0 up, at the very worst we're going to draw. But Drogheda were quite poor that day, I thought. But yeah, hit us with a sucker punch, and that's been a bit of the story of the season as well. Like, we got a good draw up in Shells, but then yeah, against Pats, there was the last minute goal from Pats again tonight. Sligo nearly equalised when we should have been out of sight. We should have been 3 or 4 nil up at home to Sligo. They looked very poor that night as well, but they nearly equalised in injury time as well. And yeah, again tonight, another late goal, but yeah, I've been pretty impressed with the team. It's kind of changed from five at the back to four at the back we played tonight, and we've kind of switched between them. And tonight was the first time actually Lee Devitt played further forward. He had been playing as left wing back and left back, but tonight now he was kind of playing the number 10 role, which probably suits him a bit better, I'd say.
Far more effective.
But yeah, so like overall, I'd be pretty impressed. Actually, our best player this season, though, I was going to say, like, Dawson Devoy is going to be in the Irish squad, but I think Aaron Bulger is going to have to drop him off there, because Aaron Bulger was excellent tonight, and he's been our best player this season. He obviously joined in the second half of last year, and he did okay the second half of last year, but this season he's been really good for us. And tonight, like, he played a brilliant ball through to, I think it was Jimmy Kioan, who nearly got a touch to put us 1-0 up, and then we had another chance. There was a flick on, I think it was a long throw, a flick on, and Twardek got on the end of it, and it was a good save. And then at the end, I don't know how Matty Wolfe didn't equalise right at the death. It was when you see it back on the highlights, I don't know, it's crazy. Like, the ball is kind of bouncing around. I think it was Lee Devitt had the shot from the edge of the box, it was blocked, Piero got in there, and then yeah, everyone was lying on the ground, and Matty Wolfe, the ball fell to him and he just put it wide, like. But it was but yeah, like, The one thing I'd say now at the season, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but if you look at the top five and the bottom five, like, you'd kind of already know who's going to be at the top five and the bottom five. But those teams now, they've played 14 times against each other, and it's 11 wins and 3 draws for the top five against the bottom five teams. So it's really the games like Monday night home to Waterford, like, that's what's going to decide our season, not like dropping a point tonight. But
and to be fair, they're the ones that you accept. You are very good in those games against the teams that you expect to be around you.
Yeah, we have. Like, as I say, like the Drogheda game now, we should have won that, but yeah, that was
Julian,
a bit of a
Julian, stop talking about the Drogheda game. You're giving me PTSD. The idea of getting defeated on the opening day of the season by Drogheda does not do my memory any good.
That's right, actually. It was funny. It was a lot of kind of coincidences. Now, this is our third season up, and I think we have a terrible record of being relegated in our third season up. And that season, 2017, yeah, it was a home 1-0 loss to Drogheda on the first day. But I think it's been like 4 or 5 times we've been relegated our third season back into the Premier Division. So this will be our third year. But yeah, like, overall, I'd be pretty happy. Like, obviously, yeah, we could have a few more points. But, like, I look at the teams around us, like, and they kind of look in worse shape than us. I think, like, Sligo, Waterford, and even Drogheda, even though they're probably a point ahead of us, maybe, or maybe a couple of points ahead of us, I think we're in better shape than them. Dundalk, obviously they had a big win tonight, but if Conor Kearns is out for the season, like, and if they're playing Peter Cherry at 42, I think they're going to be they could be a scrapping around there. But yeah, like, I think from as I say, from the first day of the season, I thought we'd finish bottom or ninth, but now it'd kind of be, I'd be happy enough how we've started anyway.
Yeah, I'd agree. Have you seen much of the Baz? What have you made of their start?
Yeah, I had them tipped to be right down the bottom at the start of the year, but you just know John Caulfield, he's just got such things up his sleeves. And the biggest one so far, I think, is Franz Piero. I think that's going to be a massive signing going forward. I think he got a minute or two tonight, but looking forward to Monday. As you said, Julian, there's definitely a gap opening up between the top five and the bottom five, and the managers are so aware of this. You look at when they go to any of those top five teams, there's an eye on the next game, especially with the Friday and Monday game. You just look at even tonight, Twardek coming off the bench, he's probably been saved for Monday. Piero obviously been saved for Monday. I just think nobody's going to steamroll Galway this season. They're going to pick up points. They're going to go away from home. They're going to be really hard to beat. They'll pick up a point here and there, all about the home games, then kind of pick up enough points to get out of it. I think they can, ahead of the likes of a Waterford or Sligo. I think they'll be ahead of that kind of pack and be aiming to be towards the top half of that bottom five. I think they'll be fine.
It's already a pretty massive game. Like, if you were to win that one Monday night, that's 6 points between you and Waterford this early in the year. I mean, it'd be a nice little buffer. It's a massive one already, like.
For sure, yeah. And I think Baz is spot on there about that. Like, when I saw the team tonight, I thought he's got an eye on Monday night. Like, because, yeah, Piero came on, 2 minutes against Drogheda, 2 minutes tonight. But, like, he hasn't played for a few months, but you'd imagine he'd probably start on Monday now. Just add that physicality or whatever. And, like, maybe you'll only get an hour out of him, but I think he's probably going to start. Yeah, Twardek as well. Twardek actually hasn't started a game, but he's been really good this season. He scored 2 goals now, and again tonight, like, really causes trouble. And the pace he brings and the energy. But the one thing as well, you were saying about Patrick Hickey as well, is I should give him credit for not celebrating tonight. Now, it was like, it was down the other end from us, but yeah, you could see him saying he didn't really want to celebrate scoring against us. But
he'd be too respectful for that, aren't
you? No, he's a great lad, and yeah, as the Bulls fan said, yeah, like, we met his family over loads of times. I think his sister's in college in Galway as well, but yeah, they're a lovely family, and yeah, best of luck to him. But yeah, as well, like, just with us as well, the way we finished last season, like, we were really kind of struggling towards the end of last season. Like, a lot of things went on with Ollie Horgan and all that, but it probably, on reflection, it probably was no harm that there was a big change in the squad as well, just because, like, the way we were finishing last season, if it had been the same squad, you definitely probably would have would have been worried, like, if it got off to a bad start. But yeah, overall, I think, yeah, happy, and just, you know, like, hopefully Monday goes well, and like that, we've the bit of breathing space then.
Yeah, no, it's a massive one for you. Fair play, Julian. Thanks a million for
jumping
on.
Good to chat to you.
Cheers, Julian. We'll circle back to the Derry talk here, because I do think it is probably the most fascinating kind of storyline in the league at the moment. Aidan, I know, is a big Derry man, so it'll be interesting to get his viewpoint on things. How are you, Aidan?
Yeah, I would say I'm all good, but not really after that result. But
were you over at?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah.
Baz commented on the atmosphere that was coming through the screen at him, I suppose, as the game kind of edged in towards the final minutes there. Talk to us on that side of things.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of boos at the end. There was quite a lot of boos even from fans when they took off as soon as they seen Adam O'Reilly's number go up. Because I don't want to obviously be talking about too much because we do every week, but everyone obviously wanted James to come off, and then. I'm not sure if any of you mentioned it, but I couldn't believe that James Clark didn't even get on the pitch tonight.
Yeah, I noticed he was non-use sub, right? That's a bit of a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing him totally out of position when he does come on. You noticed that against Rovers as well. He was playing him on the right of a three. He was trying to give him a free roll. It just didn't work. He's a number nine. He's a false nine as well. He could play him in that position, but Tiernan just hasn't played him in that position at all. He hasn't got the best out of him, even anywhere near the best out of him. He's not getting the minutes on the pitch now, but it looks at things, which is crazy when you need a goal.
Yeah, no, exactly. And even when we went behind, you know, that's a lot of things where fans get frustrated with Tiernan, and there's a lot of fans looking for Tiernan to go now. But it's like you're not changing anything up. Like the five at the back tonight wasn't great, and the fact that, you know, I know you got Barry Cotter in, but like you only started to get a right back in whenever you're four games into the season, and Cotter's now still, you know, getting fit. Like he had to come off last week and stuff, and then he came off again this week. I know with Brian Maher as well is a huge miss, but it's just the way we're set up, and the likes of Shells had no trouble tonight after they went 2-1 ahead. Derry couldn't get at them or do anything. They were just constantly passing the ball back, and James McLean was always the last person on the, you know, on the halfway line trying to, you know, make stuff happen. But he's not, you know, he's not that type of player.
And what's the talk around the club, I suppose, in terms of James McLean's situation? Is the talk on the terraces that, oh, the chairman must have a bit of influence here and be demanding that he's playing, or being demanding that he's playing in a certain position? Or do you just feel that this is the calls that Tiernan is making? You know, what's the vibe around the place? Like, Philip, like the amount of money the man has put in, to be fair to him, over the last couple of years is just absolutely phenomenal. But
yeah,
I mean, you have to be doing better than you are, given the finances poured in there over the last while.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of fans do, you know, believe that the fact that, you know, it must be something where, you know, it's as if James can't be dropped. Because that's just a feeling of, you know, the fans and stuff. Because like any other manager, they, you know, they believe that he would be dropped. And things like that there, but it's just crazy. Even with the likes of in defence, like I know, like Patrick hasn't been playing too great and stuff, but like every centre half's been changed except, you know, everyone defence. But even Patrick's kept his place as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just seems an imbalance chain, doesn't it? There seems an imbalance all over. Even in your back line, you got four of those five defenders who are left footed. Like that alone, you're thinking that's wrong. Like,
where do you ever hear that?
Yeah, it's incredible.
And listen, a short turnaround before another extremely tricky one. Obviously, Pats have Pats have turned the corner. Well, turned the corner is probably too early to say at this stage of the season, but they're flying it at the moment. I mean, hopes can't be too high heading into that one, the way things are going.
No, exactly. If you offered me a draw, I'd snatch your hand off. It's, you know, we're literally that bad. I said to Shane yesterday, just, you know, because he wasn't feeling too confident and I wasn't either. And I literally said to Shane, I was all, just you watch and see us live. And then I was chatting to him after the game, and then straight away he was like, you're right, Dado. You're so bad.
Yeah, and Barry mentioned that has there been a bit of a drop off in attendances already as well, Aidan?
No, I haven't really noticed, you know, much of a drop off. But after tonight, I wouldn't be surprised. Especially then, whenever I don't know what it'll be like whenever we move up until the Gaelic pitch towards the end of April, and I think Shamrock Rovers is the first game up there.
That will be fun, all right. Yeah, that will be fun. Heading down to Dublin and that tough game, and then home to Drogheda the following one. If you don't go and get something out of Monday night's game, it could be a fairly poisonous atmosphere up around the place by this time next week.
Yeah, no, it definitely will be. A lot of fans. Some fans were even saying, even towards the end of last season, they still think, you know, their run towards the end of last season is just pippering over in cracks with the likes of, you know, at one point we were 12, 13 points behind Rovers and we brought it back to 3, but that's just totally because Rovers had the League One and they just took the foot off with Europe, and Chels had Europe and everything as well.
And I suppose one last curveball to throw at you, but if fans have been talking about possibly a need for a change, has there been any names bounced around up there as to potential replacements if it came to that?
Well, a couple of fans have spoken mentioning Damien Duff. But I don't know if I could pitch it. I think they're just wanting a more aggressive person, hoping they maybe have a bit of balls. They drop James. They won't take no shake.
That would be you'd want to get one of those Wrexham style reality TV shows going fairly quickly now. If we ended up with Duffer and James in the one dressing room, I'd say that would be
exactly. Yeah,
that would be fun to see. But look, to be fair. You know, it almost reached this stage last year with the manager, Aidan, and he certainly, I know you might be saying too little too late by the time they went on the run, but he did manage to swing it around. He absolutely managed to swing around and got quite a decent tune out of it. He needs to find that again fast, doesn't he?
Yeah, I just think it's just the whole imbalance. You're playing players out of their best positions and things like that. There's if you look at any other club, there might be one player with likes of where Rovers have enough quality all over. They subsidise, say Danny Grant playing the wing back or something like that. But there's just too many imbalance all over the team, especially in the. The midfield and defence, it's far too open.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, absolutely no. 100%. Aidan, fair play, thanks a million for jumping on.
No bother, Shane. Cheers, boss.
Cheers, Aidan.
Great stuff. No, listen, brilliant amount of callers there tonight, Baz, and some really good chats around it. Baz, thanks a million for jumping on and helping me out tonight.
Yeah, cheers, Shane.
Great stuff. And to all the listeners who are on tonight, again, decent turnout for it tonight. Thank you very much. We will be back at it again next Friday evening. Chat to you then.
Off the Ball Daily.